Carbone, Leila Rahimi, and Marshall Harris bring you five topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got five. Number one.
It's time for Five on It here on Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody. That feels kind of nice to say that, doesn't it?
Sounds good, too. I love the way you
sounds
talk.
Sounds really nice. Yeah. Question number one of Five on It. Which Bears position group are you most looking forward to watching on Monday night versus the Vikings?
I have to say this. It's the receivers. I want to see what they do. I want to know how Ben Johnson is using them all. I know we've talked a lot about the two tight end sets, and I feel like that is a very appropriate thing in any Ben Johnson offense. It is way of life. But you have all this talent here. You have DJ Moore. You have Roma Dunze. You have Luther Burden. No block, no rock. You had a great preseason from Olamide Zaccheaus. So how are you going to distribute this ball? I think that there are a lot of options here. I want to see the growth of Roma Dunze. I want to see how defined his role is. I want to know how he's going to emerge as well. So for me, it's going to be receivers, and it's going to be like that for a while.
Got to feed those horses. Got to figure out how much oats and barley to give to each horse. That's the job of the head coach, Ben Johnson, but that's not the group that I'm most...
Did you have oats and barley for breakfast this morning?
I did not. I had a piece of pizza for breakfast this morning as... Yeah, that's
what
the, that's what we do sometimes.
From your town, by the way.
Yeah.
Well, what'd you have? Jets?
I'm not telling, Robbie. I'm not giving you any more satisfaction on this show. We are at odds for the rest of this show.
Doesn't like fun. Yeah. Oh, five innings, take them out.
Listen, my eyes will be on the freaking defensive line. Do something. Anything. There's a rookie quarterback back there. Sack him. Make him feel pain. Give him a welcome to the NFL moment. Do that to J.J. McCarthy. And if you don't, I'm going to be looking at Dennis Allen. I'm going to be looking at Ryan Poles. I'm going to be like, we were promised things. Maybe not jetpacks, but we were promised things.
Skateboards.
Skateboards would be nice.
Mm-hmm. But like good skateboards with cool decks and stuff.
Not rickety old skateboards. Not hand-me-down skateboards. It's a brand new era, brand new team. Give me some fresh sacks. Can I get some fresh sacks?
Oh, yeah.
Not like the little plastic bags that I have underneath my kitchen sink that have obviously been used over and over and over again until one of them gets a hole, then I throw it out. But some fresh bags.
Dude, I am with you. You and I have been on the same page a little bit too much today.
Fresh sacks, baby.
It is what inspired the question here because I was thinking about it, man. Like, one of the things that we don't always get to see in full motion because you got to protect yourself to some degree when you're a defensive lineman or even an offensive lineman. I want to see what this offense looks like with Grady Jarrett, with a legit three technique, which they just haven't had in the past few years where you could say, yeah, that's the guy. I mean, maybe the best one of the bunch in the last 5 years was probably Justin Jones, and that's when the Bears were literally rebuilding. I want to see Grady Jarrett in action. I want to see what the evolution of Jervon Dexter is. Is the extra size, is that going to help Jervon Dexter? I'm even excited about Dio Dangbo, and maybe it's because I had a really good conversation with him by his locker. And I know why you're looking at me like
worked
that.
Worked his way into your heart, did he?
A little bit. I'm not saying there's about like he needs to have double-digit sacks. He does. There's an expectation. He knows it. He gets it. But I want to see. Like, the Bears made a projection on this guy. So and all we can do about that is say, okay, let's see how good the Bears scouting is. Let's see how good the projection is by Ryan Poles. And I want to see it. I want to see what Dennis Allen does with him. And then guess what? There's a guy by the name of Montez Sweat. A little thing called the Tez effect, which was coined, I believe, by Matt Eberflus. I want to see what that guy looks like when he is, in theory, healthy. And you are shaking your head, Miss Leila.
He's going to have a fun day today, Matt Eberflus.
You're shaking your head over the flu tonight. I thought you were shaking your head on Tez. I'm like, why are you shaking your head?
No, the Tez effect would be great. That was when the secondary was really reaping the benefits of him causing havoc up front.
And he hasn't, like, aged. His skills haven't dropped and diminished, I don't think. So I think we're going to get full Tez effect.
They didn't say they were literally rebuilding, though, actually. Ryan Poles made sure to not say it, which I think is hilarious.
Yeah, we all knew.
Number two.
I'm going to look directly at Marshall Harris when I ask this question. Why does Craig Counsell hate fun?
I'm here for no hitters and yards, baby.
Let me tell you something. You know what's more fun than the idea of what would have had to have been a combined no-hitter, which aren't as much fun as like what I call real no-hitters, where one guy goes out there and does the work. That wasn't happening. 15 pitches per inning. You know what 15 times 9 is?
Tell me.
It's 135. Was that man throwing 135 pitches last night? Was that man throwing 135 pitches last night?
No, he wasn't.
He's not LeVon Hernandez out there, okay?
You could throw 7, though, instead of 5. Oh, my God. You could throw 7 innings.
So, yes, Craig Counsell likes fun. Because you know what's really fun? When you win in the postseason because you got your guys healthy and ready to go. That's what he was thinking about. He was thinking about the long haul, not the short haul. He does like fun.
No, I'm with, you know me, I'm team Meatball on this. I'm team Robbie really and I'm team Tyler. And I'm like, why do you hate fun, Craig Counsell? What is fun to Craig Counsell? By the way, I would just like to know, because I love it when he's partially annoyed most of the time, especially in interviews. And I love how sarcastic he is. And frankly, I think he is the driest of dry martinis when it comes to senses of humor. But sometimes you got to let these dudes rip, man. And he's on a heater. So you at least have to let him go crazy. Hear me out. What if he even went 6 or 7 innings to give your team a better chance to sweep a series against a team that you would like to do that? So your playoff seeding is better. You feel me? What is fun? What is fun to Craig Counsell?
You know what I like, Layla? Not Tommy John surgery. That's what I like.
That's not fun.
He's at Cade Horton pitching a college program. You know what that means? I'm here to tell you, at some point, the bell will toll.
Right. I just don't want that now. I don't want that before this postseason occurs. And you know, I'll stand by what I said. Like, I think they were in a weird position where he had 75 pitches after 5 innings. If they did let him go out there for more and he had another no-hit inning, now you can't leave. Now you got to leave him in there. And the pitch count would go up to 110 plus, probably.
And still not get to the end of the game.
And that kind of stuff does damage. That does damage.
It does damage when you're throwing like 40 pitches an inning. I do believe that, like, even if it's the first inning and you've struggled that much, I think that that is true. When you see guys out there throwing 30 bullets in an inning, that is when I worry. In this case, man, he seemed free and easy out there.
See, my point to my final point about this, because we've been having blows about this. Yep. Like, you can have your pitch counts and your analytics and your BORPs and whatever you have, that you're like analytics, whatever you have out there.
It's a BORP.
But at certain point, you got to write off vibes. You got to write off the human vibes. Element of the game. Like, you have to be like, oh, he has a no-no and he's absolutely dealing right now. You have to just ride it until you can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's one way to do it.
Vibes.
Yeah, vibes.
This isn't the 2032 Cubs.
I agree.
Play
the sounder.
Five on it. Number 3.
Forbes.
Third question on Bears. 5 on it. Will Raheem Harris with Mark Grody. Angel Reese said some controversial comments recently and stated that unless the sky gets better players, she may consider leaving the franchise. What? Here was her apology yesterday.
Are you frustrated with the organization or frustrated in general?
I don't think I'm frustrated. I probably am frustrated myself right now. I think the language is taken out of context. And I really didn't intentionally mean to put down my teammates because they've been through this with me throughout the whole year. They've busted their ass just how I busted my ass. They showed up for me through thick and thin and in the locker room when nobody could see anything. So I would apologize to my teammates, which I already have, about the article and how it was misconstrued about what was said. And I just have to be better with my language because I know it's not the message, it's the messenger, and understanding what I say can be taken any kind of way. So I just have to really be better and grow from this.
That was Angel Reese right there. The question is, what do you think of her stance, or what do you think of her going public with this stance?
I think it's one of frustration. You know, I think you can tell during games when the players are frustrated. The sky, unfortunately, have had a season that has been very underwhelming when you consider that, whether or not people want to admit this, Angel Reese is far and away the best rebounder in the WNBA. She's also somebody who averages double-doubles consistently, thereby being one of the best players in the WNBA. Camila Cardoso is growing to be considered a real star. Those are your two people you build around. And unfortunately, the Sky have had a very underwhelming season. The Athletic's anonymous players poll in the WNBA said the Sky was the worst-run franchise in the league. and the discrepancy between how the franchises are run and what a day in the life of looks like for one player in the NBA versus another is not as consistent as it is in, say, the NFL, Major League Baseball, and vice versa. That's why this CBA is so pivotal for them. I say all of that to say that I understand why frustration would bubble over in these types of ways. When you know that, say, for example, you're the 13th overall pick and you get cut because you're injured, which we've seen happen too. All of those things said, I think it's the WNBA has to do a lot to make it easier for good players to stay on teams, for the middle class of players to also be required for other teams when, unfortunately, you're having injuries really be catastrophic to your group, like what happened with Courtney Vandersloot. But you can't call out players by name. That's where it gets tough. That's where it gets really difficult, because how do you face those people in a locker room when you're supposed to win as a group day in and day out?
So the Supermax in the NBA is like $250,000. That's
a quarter of a billion, you mean?
No, I mean a quarter of a million. That's the Supermax
in the NBA.
WNBA. So I understand Angel Reese is looking at this like, how can I make the best of my time in Chicago? She's clearly frustrated having played for two different coaches in 2 years and gone nowhere in terms of wins and getting where she wants to go. I understand her frustration. I even understand what she was saying when she says, I was taken out of context, because she's probably asked, like, well, what do you think about next year when Courtney Vandersloot comes back? Courtney Vandersloot is an older player. She is a Hall of Famer. She's going to be a no-doubt Hall of Famer. She is one of the legends of the team, one of the reasons the team has a championship trophy. But I think ultimately for Angel Reese, she just has to hope and pray that her front office and the ownership can go out there, and she said she's willing to be a part of it, and recruit better players, all-star level players who can grow with Angel Reese. They need like a veteran who, I guess they thought they had that in Ariel Atkins, who's a two-time all-star, but they need more players who can actually do better under Tyler Marsh or whoever system this is come next year.
The Chicago Sky are bad. They are 10-3. I agree that the way
10-3?
I mean, sorry, 10-30.
Oh, yeah, 10 just make 30. Sure. Okay. Yeah.
They are 12th out of 14 teams in the league.
Yeah, they are bad. So while I agree Angel Reese did, it was awkward, it was clunky, she'll have to face her teammates, like I said, but guess what happens at the end of the day, at the end of the year, is that the front office hears this, the bosses hear this, your star player, if you believe she's the star player of the team, is upset and angry and calling out the organization. And it sounds to me like somebody needs to call out the organization the way it stands right now. So there's no gray area for me. There's an opportunity cost, and it might be having to face her teammates, but the reward in the end is somebody had to say something. Nobody said, you must have said something. You're 10-30, and it doesn't seem like it's getting much better. So I like what she did, even if it wasn't in the most well-mannered way.
Number four.
Are the White Sox going to sweep the Twins?
I asked this question. And do you know why I really wanted to ask it? Because of a pretty fantabulous stat. You know, the White Sox had a big comeback win last night. And they don't do that very often.
Sure don't.
So much so that they hadn't done it after trailing after eight for decades. Well, or what seemed like decades. Tens of games. So decades. Well, when you look at it that way, decades of games. That's how I felt about
it. Decades was almost believable when you said it at first.
But still. So I love asking the question, are the White Sox going to sweep the Twins? Because, frankly, it's a question I haven't been able to ask in a really long time. The White Sox had lost 205 consecutive games when trailing after eight innings until last night. 205 straight. That's not a real number.
It's not a real number.
That also says quite a bit about your bullpen and your hitters and your team. And you know what? In the words of CC Sabathia, I hope they do sweep the weird-ass Minnesota Twins. So I'm going to go with it.
Hall of Famer, by the way, CC Sabathia.
Yes. One of very few left-handed starting pitchers that have struck out 3,000 people in the game of baseball,
right.
As Mark Grody educated me on at a prior date. Okay, so here's the short story. Yes, they're going to sweep them. You know why? Because if they sweep them today, all they have to do is get 10 more wins out of 21 games if they get the win today. They could lose 11 out of the next 21 games and still not lose 100 games this season. That's it. That's all.
Okay. I agree with you. I think they will sweep because the way this season has gone, and I've heard from lots of White Sox fans who are engaged in this team again, and I think this sweep will be one of the symbolic moves of, I don't know if that's the right word to use, but just to say this team is better and you can look forward to what is going to be happening in the future. What is going on right now?
We got a break.
Okay.
He was giving a break signal.
Oh, all right. Yeah. Marshall's just going crazy over here. I don't know what's happening.
It's not 4 on it. It's 5 on it.
Oh, was that?
It's not 4 on it. It's 5 on it.
Was that the fourth question?
Yes.
Okay.
That's why.
All right, I'm done. The Sox are going to sweep. There it is.
Number five.
This is the 2-minute drill. This is actually the 2-minute drill here. Fifth question.
1-minute drill, technically.
How do you feel when you're told to be safe by someone else?
Okay, so this is what I understand to be a colloquialism that is not... it's only used in certain places in the United States, and where I was from was not one of them. It's like, well, yeah, I'm going to be safe. What's my alternative? To not be and then I get hurt or maimed or something?
Not maimed.
I'm like, yeah, I'm being safe in life. I typically am. That's how I know how to be. The end.
I think a lot of people just don't pay attention, so it's just an extra warning to be safe. Like, be aware of your surroundings. Be extra aware of your surroundings. Every time I get out of a rideshare vehicle, I tell the driver, be safe, because it's usually nighttime, because that's when I'm taking Ubers.
My mom still tells me to be safe and drive carefully, and she only just recently relaxed her call me when you get home rule. Just like going from their house in the suburbs to my place in the city. Call us when you get home. She finally relaxed that law.
So because I live across the country from my parents, who live across the country from each other, I always get the, like, let us know when you land. And I'm like, pretty sure you're going to find out if I don't.
Yeah. Call or text. And yes.
I hate to say it. They did not. Neither one of them in separate occasions liked it. I'm just going to say that. They were not happy with my response.
If we do one more, we're the pick six and then we're infringing. It's a copyright
it's
rule.
It's a copyright.
Yeah, Dustin Rhodes can't.
Yeah. Rhodes now hit us hard. Yeah.
I'm sorry. There were a lot of hand signals going on. We were like Aaron Rodgers' new receivers out there.
Yeah.
Nobody knew what we were supposed to do.
We got college sideline giving out signs to
Robbie
the quarterback.
Robbie knew exactly
I'm
what
like,
I was
why
saying.
Don't you just tell me the name of the movie you want to see? We have Jarrett Payton coming up next. I'm very excited. I hope there's some Uncle Luke music involved. We get to talk about Bears football and more with him next.
Jarrett Payton.
My name is Jarrett Payton, and I am here to motivate you today.
Former NFL running back.
Jarrett Payton wearing his father's number 34, and looking like the old man. Look at this run. A gorgeous job by Jarrett Payton.
The son of sweetness.
There's Walter with his Cubs jacket on. And here he comes out. His son Jarrett is with him. Sweetness. What an ovation.
Sports anchor for WGN.
You know me. I'm the resident running back here.
Jarrett Payton on 670 The Score.
Uncle Luke got me hooked on Hennessy, so thank you to Uncle Luke.
There it is. We need a little 305 in here when somebody was a member of one of the greatest, if not the greatest, college football team of all time. We go to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. That is where we find the man, Jarrett Payton, at Payton's son on X. He broke the internet last year, and now Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce are getting engaged. How do you like that? He's the sports anchor for WGN, host of GN Sports, and of course, Bears royalty. Jarrett, we are happy to have you on here on The Score.
Layla, appreciate you. Thank you for the intro. Marshall, I see you, bud. What's going on, man?
Just hanging out, man.
Hope you're not injured still. You good, though?
I'm alive. Good? I'm alive.
Okay. And that guy, Grody. That guy Grody right there. I'm telling you right now, that dude should be in commercials. He looks so good. I see you, Grody. What's up, boy?
Dude, I was thinking about you last night. I don't know if you were watching the Cubs game. I know that you're working nights, so you can't take in every little thing that goes on at a Cubs broadcast. But Cliff Floyd was talking. Boog asked him, what's your favorite football team? They're talking about the NFL. And he said, I'm a Bears fan. And he said that he was at Soldier Field on October 7th, 1984, when one Walter Payton broke Jim Brown's rushing record at the time to become number one. Little run to the left on that artificial turf at Soldier Field. So I thought that was sick. And then I just for the heck of it, I looked it up and I watched it because I just love doing things like that. And of course, Joe McConnell is doing the play-by-play. But then they flashed to the booth, and there's your mom. And I think you, sticking your fingers in your ears and sticking your tongue out.
You could tell that as a young kid, I was all about FaceTime on the TV because I saw the camera in my face. And so, like, at one point, I think I, like, gave a forearm shiver to my aunt who was sitting right next to me. And then they cut back to me again.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sticking my tongue out at the camera. And only me and probably trying to eat all the candy that I could inside of that press box. But I remember that day like it was yesterday, man. So shouts out to Cliff. That was one of the big moments. My dad got the Lambo. I think he got the Lamborghini after. Yeah, he got the Lambo.
Really? Must be nice.
One of the fastest ways home from Soldier Field back to South Barrington that I've ever had in my entire life.
That's awesome.
What is the best car that your dad ever had?
I think that sounds like it.
You know what, Layla? That one was crazy because Kangaroos gave him that one after breaking the record. I would probably have to say once he got the Ferrari. I mean, the Ferrari was crazy. And it's funny because you see your dad with all these cars and stuff, and then as I'm growing up and getting older in high school, he'd always tell me, don't invest in cars. I'm like, Dad, you're investing in cars. He's like, duh, I got cash. You ain't got none. You ain't got none, son. I can do it.
That's the welcome to the NFL moment.
Yeah, I am so excited right now. Like just being back on the score with you guys, knowing that hearing you guys talk about the announcement of everybody that's going to be on the show throughout the week with you guys, and Grody being on as much as he's going to be on, it's just good. I walked out of to take my son to school today, and it's every single year that I wake up, there's this day where I walk outside and I smell football and I know that it's back.
I know the smell.
Today was that morning. It was kind of brisk out, a little cold, a little chilly.
Yeah.
I could smell the dew on the grass. Mm. I was like, yo, we are officially back to football. And have to wait till Monday night to be able to kick it off for our Bears.
Yeah, you got that hoodie on. You know it's hoodie season. I see you. You can catch him on Twitch if you would like to. Jared Payton joining us here on Raheemy and Harris with Mark Grody. Tell me how you're feeling right now, Jared. We're going to get that injury report later today. The first one of the season. Monday Night Football around the corner. We got football tonight in Philadelphia. Yeah. How are you feeling about the NFL actually being here and arriving?
I'm excited. I'm super excited. I trying to put these parlays together while I go throughout my day to figure out how I can cash in. But also as well, it's just, it's been too much time. And my years go by every year. It's not January 1st. My years go by Super Bowls. And so once the season starts, that's like the beginning of the year. The Super Bowl is like the end of the year for me. So, I'm excited. I don't even know how to say this. Everywhere I go, people ask me about how this season's going to go and the expectations that I know that Bears fans have for Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and this whole entire Bears organization. I'm here for the long haul because I think to build something great, you got to have some type of foundation. And I look at what Ben has done so far being here and the culture that has kind of shifted a little bit through some of the guys that you brought in this offseason, guys like Grady Jarrett, who I've gotten a chance to know and what they're all about, Joe Tooney, these guys that have actually won, been around the league, it changes the dynamics of your locker room, and hopefully, especially for the younger guys, to see how you have to prepare, how you have to go about your business to be able to truly win and have sustained success, because it's not easy at all. And when you look at the division, for me, that's the tough part. I mean, this ain't gonna be easy. But that's the only way you can do it, by going through a tough division to figure out who you are as a team. And if you have a true chance to be able to get to that game that I go to every single year to hand out the Walter Payton Man of the Year award.
We are talking to Jared Payton, happy to do so here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody here on The Score. And I think that that's a good mention of everybody when it came to also the captains. You know, what do you think about the team captain announcement as well, connecting into all of that?
You know what, Layla, it's kind of interesting, right? When you think about, you look at the names that are on that list, and I should say the names that aren't on that list, right? I mean, that's saying something about what Ben Johnson is looking for, what he wants.
Like who should be on that list? Who's not on that list?
I'm just saying some of the names that aren't on that list, right?
Yeah.
Like Jalen's not on that list. You know what I mean?
Right. Montez, maybe.
Montez is not on that list. I mean,
Cole Kmet was a captain last year.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's a perception of what we see and what we think, and how DJ Moore is not on that list. I mean, like the people that we look at and coming into this season of saying are the household names here in Chicago that are on this roster in this organization. It was one of the first tests for me to see where Ben Johnson and what he believes, because his vision is different than our vision and what we see on the outside looking in. And so it's telling to me just a little bit, and hopefully that those guys that aren't on the list that we know, Montez, these guys that need to have big seasons, figure out a way to be able to fall in line and do what they need to do.
How good do you feel about the offensive line this year relative to what it was last year, and what did you make of the tryout for left tackle?
The left tackle position was very painful for me, just because.
Sorry.
And no. Anybody that's played the quarterback position at any level, you know how big of a position that is, and what it means, and especially in this modern day NFL, it's such a. I mean, look at pass rusher, look at quarterback and left tackle. I mean, that's what's protecting the golden goose back there that you're hopefully going to help lead you to a Super Bowl. And so the fact is that if you're trying out, and I feel like I've heard Layla talk about this before, when you're talking about quarterbacks, if you have too many, like if you have two, you don't have one. You don't have any. Like you got to figure it out. And the fact is that that was a position that we all knew going into the offseason was needed to be fixed. You fix the interior of your offensive line, but that spot is such a big spot. Braxton, if they feel like he has the most experience and they feel that he's familiar to what's going on, hey, that's who you got to roll with. But eventually the tape won't lie. So if things aren't going where they need to go, that means Caleb might be on his back a little bit more. Or so I'm here to give it a little bit of grace, a grace period. But in my heart, I believe that this beginning of the season is going to be some bumps in the road for this ball club. Doesn't mean that they can't pick it up as you go on, but there's so much new going on, especially on the offensive side of figuring things out, that, I mean, if they come out Monday and it is just like seamless, I'll take everything that I said back. But I do think there's going to be some bumps in the road early for this ball club.
It sounds like we're aligned as Jared Payton joins us from GN Sports, as he will every other week here on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody. It sounds like we're aligned in that it's going to be bumpy to start. Not to say that the Bears can't find a way to win games, but it's going to be bumpy. What I want to ask you is a question I posed to everybody that's here. Do you have more confidence in Ben Johnson in that offense, or do you have more confidence in Dennis Allen and his defense? Because for me, it's the offense, because why was Ben Johnson hired if not to get the offense to do things that we haven't seen here in Chicago?
Marshall, that's a good question. defense, playing the offense, being an offensive guy, everybody's got to be on the same page. Not saying that you don't have to be on defense as well, but I just think that if you have playmakers on defense, you can find ways sometimes to be out of place and still make a play. And on the offense, man, it's all about timing. It's all about being where you need to be.
Do they have the playmakers on defense?
I'm just saying in general.
Okay.
I'm just saying in general, like just the defense. On the offensive side, you know, you need to run 12 yards and out. You need to be, it can't be shorter than that. Can't be 8 yards and out. You know what I mean? So you have to be on point, and everybody has to kind of be on point on offense. I feel like offensively that this team, I wouldn't feel as worried if I had more confidence in what the run game was going to look like. And at this point, I don't know what that's going to look like yet. And knowing what Ben Johnson wants to do and likes to do, and I'm not kind of compare this thing to Detroit because there's different guys on this roster with different skill sets. I totally get that. But it's predicated on running the football and finding ways to be able to establish the game on the ground. And I need to see that first before I can have comfort in what this offense can do. And I think that needs to be the recipe, not just being the scorer's resident running back. I just believe that that needs to be the recipe to be able to take that pressure off of Caleb, but also set up the things that Ben likes to do and disguise out of the same formation, like two times, like a play later. You know what I mean? Yeah. And like really, he's so good at that. But a lot of that is based off of how you run the football. And so I have to see that first before I can feel comfort in this offense.
Jared Payton, we are so happy to have you on with us again this year on The Score. Thank you for taking the time today.
Layla, I got to tell you guys one more thing because I just want Bears fans to know this. No one knows. I don't know if anybody knows this yet, but I'm just going to say it now. My mom, my sister, and I will be honorary captains on Monday night at Soldier Field.
Thank you for telling us. And yes, that's wonderful. Congratulations.
Shouts out to the Bears, 40th anniversary of that 85 team. We're going to be there representing our pops, man. We are so excited. We cannot wait. And I am ready to bear down with all my Bears fans on Monday night.
It's a dub.
Let's get it.
So if what do people want to do? Like if they want to see this, you know, what is there any pregame on-field stuff that happens for you guys? Like what do you get to do?
I'll be working a little bit too. So,
it doesn't
exclude me from work. Shout out to my whole family at WGN. I truly, truly appreciate it. I'll be working. I'm not really sure what the festivities are, but we'll be there in some capacity. So, hopefully, we get the chance to see all the Bears fans Monday night. Let's get this dub.
I want Bears fans there early so they can cheer on you and your family. That is wonderful news, Jared. Thank you for sharing that with us.
See you guys.
Thanks, Jared.
Bye, man.
That was Jared Payton, honorary captain for Monday night's game with his family.
It's a dub. Oh. Write it down.
Man,
there's all sorts of stuff going to be going down, by the way. I've been hearing some things that I don't know if I can release. Yeah, but I'm glad that he released that. That might be the highlight right there, man. That is awesome. That is awesome.
And the reason I ask is because, you know, depending on how the pregame goes, it could be a little earlier and people are getting off of work.
Yeah.
You know, that's why I want to ask about that stuff, because if there is some sort of order of how it goes, you want to be in your seat so you can see it happen, you know? So that's why I asked.
That's a good thing.
Hopefully we get some more updates if we need to. So congratulations again to Jared Payton. And also, we want to let you know, you can tune in today, coming up from 2 to 6, for the Spiegel & Holmes football season kickoff in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. They will have Coach Dave Wanstead and Olin Krutz in studio, plus Troy Aikman is scheduled to call in as well. That is all coming up at 2 o'clock on The Score in the Odyssey app, and it's brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers, and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois through it all. Speaking of things that the Bears are offering, do we have a guest for you? Our buddy Dan Levy, friend of Mark Grody, the one with the voice of In a World.
In a World.
Is at Soldier Field sampling the food right now. So we're going to get a live report from him next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
Layla Raheem, Marshall Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
In a World.
In a world where Soldier Field is giving a sneak peek and a preview of what you can eat there to the lucky individuals who get to be a part of that experience, we go on the Raheemy and Harris Show with Mark Grody to the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today, and that is where we find Mark Grody's good friend, the man with the voice that can launch 1,000 ships.
They call him Bass. He used to be on the Man Cow Show. And I think, isn't that right, Dan Levy? Isn't that where the Bass nickname originated, or was that Nebraska days?
Oh, no. Man Cow is where it started, and has made me the most money of my career.
Hell yeah.
Love that.
Yes. In a world.
Can you tell us about the world of food you're experiencing right now? What is this like for people who don't know when you get to go preview the Soldier Field food?
Well, imagine going to Soldier Field for a Bears game and all the food is free. That's exactly what this was. It's an event that they put on with the Levy restaurants, which, oddly enough, I'm not related to those guys at all. And I had a lot of explaining to do when I got in there that I was not anyone's boss there. But what they did is that all the new food places and all the new partners that they're partnering up with for this season, they were all lined up, picture opportunities, and then it's all you can eat. And they just sit there taking pictures, and everybody's doing videos. So Israel Adonijé was there. He's going to be doing Staley's. He debuted a chicken sandwich, a loaded Izzy smoked brisket mac and cheese.
Oof.
There was former 85 Bear Matsui. He's got a pepper company.
Number 26 was there? Wait a minute. Matsui was there?
He wasn't there, but his family was there.
Okay.
But he was there, or his family was there. They're doing three different kinds of sausage, and they're also doing a brisket nacho themselves, a loaded nacho. Mr. Beef is going to be there. There's going to be a Barstool Sports Philly cheesesteaks, and there's now a kids' meal with Molly's mac and cheese, and they're even doing Crustables for kids, too.
Oh, Crustables.
So it was awesome.
All right, enough of this crap, Dan. How was the food? What did you have? I assume that you indulged in all of that. What? Give us the hey, I've been to a buffet with this man.
The top item? You want the top item?
He says enough of this crap and then proceeds to ask you about more food, got dead.
You want to know what the top is? He's being very formal right now. I want to know what he tried.
What's the top list?
I went once around the world and back home. I did everything twice.
Wow. That's impressive. Actually.
I start because when you walk in, you see Israel Adonijé sitting there with a sandwich waiting to greet me. I'm not going to say no. I'll be right back and go get Mr. Beef. So you get a couple from Israel Adonijé.
You love saying Israel Adonijé, don't you? You're feeling pretty good right now, dropping that name, don't you, Dan?
I'm gonna keep dropping that one until you guys kick me off this radio.
It's the itis. The itis is kicked in.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so what was the best?
They also serve beer when you walk in, too.
So you're drunk. That's what's going on here. Okay, hold on.
I'm not drunk. But I did not do pizza like Marshall did this morning, but beer and sausages is the breakfast of any Bears champion.
That's fair.
Hell yeah. So wait, what was your favorite item?
You know what, Israel Adonijé, I'll say it one more time, dropping that one in there. In a world where Israel Adonijé sandwiches are the greatest things I've ever had. His sandwich was really good, and actually the Philly cheesesteaks, I can do a Philly cheesesteak every day. I don't care where it comes from. That was good.
We're also seeing some video right now on WGN. There were pigs in a blanket. There looks to be a really nice chicken sandwich.
That is all part of the kids' meal, which is pretty cool. They're doing like baskets for kids. They got cookies. And they also, apparently somebody there who was just happened to bump into Kevin Warren in January at a steakhouse, told Kevin Warren, I really love what you guys are doing. I have season tickets. Kevin Warren went upstairs to this guy, introduced them to all of the Levy restaurants and all the hospitality people. And they put this guy on the spot, and they said, what should we do to improve? And he said, you guys should do mac and cheese because my kids like mac and cheese. So now they have Molly's mac and cheese, where this kid's daughter, they're naming it after her. So they're doing mac and cheese, all because they met somebody at a steak place.
She got the mac and cheese named after her?
They are naming it after her. She's going to be number 25 in the stands at 300 level, I believe. And they will be like featuring her, and her name is going to be the mac and cheese that kids will be ordering from when you go to a Bears.
That's awesome.
Aw. Who doesn't love mac and cheese?
Oh, it's the best. I will say this.
One thing I found out, which I never knew about, that Crustables are like their number one consumers are NFL players, and the Chicago Bears are one of them. Apparently at halftime, All they do is play Uncrustables.
Oh, I've seen the Uncrustables. No
the
I've
way that
them.
You said Chicago Bears are one of them that maybe they didn't qualify as an NFL team was hilarious.
Dan's a longtime Bears 2 fan. He's in on the bit. But actually, it was the same thing, man. When I was with the Cubs, those players, man, in that locker room, Crustables. And who doesn't like a mushy peanut butter and jelly sandwich? That's life, right, Dan?
Oh, I'm addicted to those things. My 10-year-old, he loves Crustables, and now I slam like three of those a day. They're
Uncrustables.
So
Uncrustables.
Uncrustables. Yeah. I eat them so fast, I don't remember the name.
You're right about the athletes and Uncrustables, though. Okay, so you gave your number one and your number two. Anything else real quick before we go to break that you want people to check out on Monday?
You're going to want to check out Connie's Pizza. He's also doing an Italian beef and giardiniera, which is really good as well. And Mr. Beef is going to be there. And don't forget to say hi to Israel Adonijé. One more time.
You're
Dan
the best, Dan.
Base Levy, thank you so much for giving us this very important report from Soldier Field.
Thanks so much, Dan. This has been very enjoyable.
Anytime you need a buffet guy on the beat, you know the number.
Buffet guy on the beat.
I've seen this guy at a buffet, man. It is. He is a surgeon. He is a surgeon.
We don't have the I'm Fat podcast representing on the score anymore. I'm just saying. Dan, thank you so much. That was a good report. I feel like we know more now. I will also say the last time I was at Soldier Field as a fan, I had Mr. Beef.
Did you?
I did.
Honestly, like low key, my favorite thing at Soldier Field has always been their soft. I love soft pretzels, and they do them right. Although when I went to see System of a Down, I got a bad one. It was a little crunchy. You don't want your soft pretzel to have crunch to it.
You know
but,
why? Because you were at a metal show.
That's true, man. That's right.
Also, if you guys like food and stuff, we got some stuff that we're going to be giving away. Listen for your chance to win a pair of tickets for the first ever Oktoberfest with the Cubs coming to Wrigleyville. Ooh. September 19th through the 21st. That's in the Toyota Camry lot on Gray Street. Enjoy authentic food, beer tents, live music, carnival rides, even a ceremonial keg tap. Tickets are on sale now starting at just $15. Also, children 10 and under, you get in for free. Head to Cubs.com/Oktoberfest for the details.
That does look like fun. I like that they're doing an Oktoberfest, so I'm glad we're giving something away. And now, I can't do it. I want to be all official with my announcing, but Dan Levy just puts everybody to shame. Coming up next, I'll just say it in non-announcer voice, a prediction segment that Robbie Triano has birthed. It's time for us to talk about what we think is going to happen next season, this season, whatever you want to call it, starting tonight. Prediction time is next. You can write them down with us. We're all going to save them and then get mad at ourselves for making them later. But we begin next on Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on The Score.
In a world